Coming soon to the Bosley Network.
My name is Jenny Powell. I really want to focus on the relationship that we have with ourselves. My earnest intention here is to hopefully be contagious, that my desire to love myself inspires a desire in you to love yourself. Brazen, conscious, and contagious.
Brazen, conscious, and contagious. Coming soon to the Bosley Network. Premiering Valentine's Day. Right here on thebosley.net.
Yeah?
There's cool stuff in it, but it's dull.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. I did.
Good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai in Progress. I'm Kai.
I'm Kush. What's good, y'all?
Hell yeah. We saw The Program. Man, a Kush pick. I enjoyed this movie. I also have a different relationship probably to Bo Schembechler than you do, so... Oh. I don't know. Or maybe you're a huge Michigan football fan.
I don't know who this gentleman is.
He was the coach, and then he had an appearance as an announcer.
Oh, far out.
Indeed. The Program definitely makes a ton of lists as an all-time sports movie for college football. What caused you to pick this one?
It was just sitting in a stack of DVDs that I specifically bought for this show, and I just figured it's January, we're still doing college football, bowl games, all that
Indeed.
Good stuff. First Kush and Kai 2019, might as well start off with this. I saw this in the theater.
Oh, did you?
There was some controversy about it, otherwise I'd have probably never bothered to see it whatsoever.
Oh, did you see the scene?
I did not see the scene, which really makes me sad because
that's a bummer. So
that's
the scene
why we went. We were it Kush, was all over the news. Bunch of drunk hooligans.
The scene Kush is talking about. We'll. I don't even know where it was supposed to go in the movie, but
first bar
college,
scene.
Yeah, the college hooligans. They need to test their mettle and strength, stress under pressure. So they are lying in the street with cars going highway speeds around them. And what happened because of this? Because people saw this in a movie.
A couple college kids imitated this and were promptly run over. One died. One was critically injured. And thus, Disney, a.k.a. Buena Vista, a.k.a. Touchstone Pictures, immediately took to task, and they cut this scene from every reel that still existed at the time. This was in our second run theater by this time. I saw this at the Tan Fran. The news is they are removing this scene by Friday. We got in on a Wednesday, and it was already too late. They just cut it themselves. However, while watching this movie, it would be the first time I'd be exposed to marijuana smoke, as there were kids behind us sparking a bowl.
Oh my gosh!
I'm maybe 14 or 15. I'm just a freshman in high school at this point.
Oh, no. That set your life on a path.
It didn't, but it smelled nice.
Delightful. I think, let's see here. The only known home video release with the scene intact is the Hong Kong Laserdisc, Laserdisc published by Taishan International. The version of the film is 3 minutes longer than the theatrical cut and clocks in at 115-minute runtime. The Australian DVD release of this film has the entire scene still intact. It is also now very far behind find the VHS tape in Australia.
Wow.
It was eradicated pretty well.
I found the deleted scene last night on YouTube. Apparently a projectionist was working during this. He even got a little blurb. He's like, I specifically cut this, and then I hid it in a vault.
I love it.
So
everything finds its way to YouTube eventually. I love it. Except for NFL clips, because, you know, that league sucks. Jeez. Oh, there's also the scene that they didn't cut where Joe, the quarterback, he faces down a train and jumps out of the way at the last second. That was kosher, but lying in the street. That's too vivid for people to not directly relate to the movie.
Well, drunk kids are surviving train dodges every day. That's just a fact, okay?
Absolutely.
Kids are not surviving lying in the street, but they are surviving train dodges.
Drunk train dodges with your tennis girlfriend. All right, well, let's just jump in here. James Caan is the coach of the program, and the program takes place at Eastern State University. Go to
a real college.
No, it's not. Okay. And they filmed a lot of it at University of South Carolina, and they really did it up. Like, they filled up that state. There was like 80,000 people out there for those shots. I have to say, this movie too, like, the construction of the football scenes, it was great. Like, people do football, like, they recreate football things so poorly all the time.
I'd put this up there right there with On Any Given Sunday with its football action.
Absolutely.
That was and The Longest Yard, both.
Very well done. let's see here. Oh, so, yeah, the movie starts, it's like, it's a driving rainstorm, and they're playing in, like, almost complete darkness. And the QB fakes a handoff, and they roll out right. Bad pass is batted down, and this is at the end of the last season, and they don't make a bowl game. So James Caan, the athletic director, president of the school? Anyway, somebody yoinks his chain and is like, hey, look, we don't want to have to make a change, James Caan. Let's pick it up here. We got to take a look at it if you don't get to a bowl next year. And this movie does a great job of, like, these were all, I would say, like, these were all a ton of details about, like, how this works. So if you, I mean, it is a study session into, like, the details of, like, drug testing or how programs deal with incidents and, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Academic standards. Like, it's more of just a slice of, this is exactly how this worked at this time. And still, many of these details are largely, you know, real.
Oh, I believe most of these practices are still in play. But, yeah, a lot of this movie is just showing you the ugly side of college football, which most people would have no idea exists.
Indeed. So as James Caan leaves with his assistant coaches to go recruiting, there's an effigy of him hung outside the stadium by the neck with the noose, which... That I don't know. I mean, how many?
He handles it well. He's just like, oh, I've lost weight.
He just cruises by. Oh, look at that! I lost weight. first trip, they go and meet Darnell Omar Epps on a scouting trip, and there's a quick scene of Mac where he gets his mom a door knocker for Christmas.
Yeah, that's a sweet.
And then he promises her to get the rest of the house that has to go with it. That was very sweet. Darnell gets a special tour from Halle Berry, who I was like, is she a student until we see her doing student-y thing. It was a little confusing, but, cause I'm just acquainted with Halle Berry and she still looks, I mean, she looks great still. So it's like, I can't, the age, I, it was slippery there.
She was just barely a model.
There we go. They fire up the scoreboard for him when he gets there, and the cheerleaders are out. You know, they're putting out the full court press, and everybody, if you're into it, like, there are some wild stories out there about recruiting trips and the things that happen. And I think he got game. They did a great take on that guy getting recruited at his school, and that they do throw around a lot of dinners and trips and tours and lots of rumors of the women that are just around and available. So that's something. He does land a half-hearted kiss on her at the end that she leans away from.
she eases out of that kiss very hard.
You know what came to mind, too? It was like, I don't know, just recruiting and recruiting nonsense. The porn star, Mia Khalifa, went to FSU. And she is always making making promises online to recruits. And I'm like, how is that not the highest level of tampering? I wonder if the NCAA went and had a talk with her. But he announces for ESU. And I like that he said, I'm going to be number 20, but we will undoubtedly going to be number one. And then they look, this movie is, it is like, I think that cut I saw was like almost 2 hours long.
Yeah, but, just under 2 hours.
But they did get, I'm glad they got us through that recruiting trip really fast. Because immediately they hit us with, 4 months later and the season's starting. I was like, oh, good. They just kind of, let's just get to it. Let's just get to it. So he's there at school. And we're immediately exposed to the drinking age is lowish in this town because the kids are like hitting shot. You know, the football team is coming together at the local bar and they're hitting shots and rocking beers. And you're like, okay, okay.
Yeah, I was feeling it. That's one of the privileges extended to the football players is they're not getting carded at the bar because they're special.
Dig. Yeah, I don't know. I just got the sense that it's like there were some – I mean, the drinking age, what, was 18 in some places around the country?
It's still 18 in some places, but most likely not in this. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't figure out – they really didn't tip us off – where this school was because they had to fly to Georgia, the Georgia Tech game, right? Joe tried to fly his dad there and they played, they had an interesting schedule. They had, and the conferences have realigned a few times, but I should have looked up what they were most likely in because they played Georgia Tech. They played Michigan.
They played Iowa.
Yeah, they played Iowa. So is that they were like Big Ten? I don't know. Anyway. So we learned that Joe, the quarterback, he's got preseason Heisman hype, which that kind of pressure, that always works out well. And he made the cover of Sports Illustrated, which that's got to be a big deal. But we'll find out later that his dad could fucking care less.
His dad, that was a bummer. For lack of a better word.
His dad just does not dislikes his son. He, actually, in their conversation later, Joe says maybe you hate yourself because you thought you could have been more if you see me. And I guess that's what we hinge on. Yeah, like that was it. That was his number because he does not travel to the game to watch his son. And we learn that he never has. He's never seen him play. In fact, he's never turned on a game of his on television. So I guess he hates him for some reason. I wish
he would have gotten. In fairness, in that last comment, cable college football wasn't available on every cable channel at this point.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, the man somehow managed to avoid every game this kid has been a part of from kindergarten to college.
The radio, maybe? I don't know. Oh boy. Darnell meets Halle Berry's boyfriend, Ray Griffin, who happens to be the starting running back. And as we'll learn, Halle Berry has a type. Black running backs.
Yeah, and it happens. It's definitely a type. It's on OK Cupid all the time.
There it is. That's you're dialed right in there. And there's a good bit in there about how even if Darnell, who is not good at schooling because he tests into the remedial classes, they do alert him that he will be not allowed to be bounced out of the program. they will qualify him, which is another deal. Like, I mean, I read a report every like two or three, somebody digs back into like, oh, you know, this school, it has so quote unquote, like easy classes, or they never went, or they're cooking the books. And I mean, I respect the shit out of the coaches that do care about that stuff. Cause it is like, that's the promise of the scholarship. And you're kind of robbing them of that opportunity. Like, that's not what it's for, which sucks. But that's a very real thing. And then the debate over, like, well, you should play the kids because it's like college football is a money printing machine, but that comes with its own problems, too. So, yeah.
You know more about college ball than I do. Can he only play for a maximum of 4 years, or can they just.
No. Your eligibility can stretch. You can go beyond four. You can't play for more than four. Okay. They have things known as redshirt freshmen where you can be on the team and you can play a certain number of games, but it won't count against your year's eligibility. But once you start, then you've had your freshman year, and then you will continue so. But there's weird rules around that.
Because like you said, Darnell is starting remedial classes. He's not even taking college courses at this point.
Yeah, he's in remedial, not towards college credit. And he was concerned, too. He's like, can I still play? Like, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. Just, you know, get yourself a tutor. Get in there. They're at practice. Practice is pretty rough. Darnell immediately goes down, gets hit. And James Caan is telling one of the guys, it wasn't Latimer, it was another dude. But he was instructing, he hits the top of the guy's helmet and says, put your helmet into his numbers, which now is an illegal tackle. You're not supposed to It's got to be heads up. You cannot go crown of the helmet into anybody. That is a that's no good.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
They're playing, and then during the hit drill, they're playing Welcome to the Jungle, which is a nice touch. But if you did this movie these days, it'd probably be like Raekwon or T.I. or somebody. Maybe we'll, I don't know. Maybe that Nebraska. I don't know. It's just.
I can still see them playing something from the Metallica Black album.
I could see that. That could work. And then was it was it playing? Could they hear it? They do play music at practices. I don't know. And they suspect a play. Two of the coaches suspect one of the players of being on roids. That would be Latimer. Because you can hear him working out and yelling in the next room. And the coach is like, I don't know. What are you going to do?
Both squads are on the floor, like, exhausted. Like, all 99 players, except Latimer, who is still just
pushing. He's in the weight room, just flipping just the bar up into the air, and then he kicks it. He's just they did the roided up guy. They turned that to 11.
Yeah, and Latimer is actually not a – not a rookie to these football movies. You've seen him in The Program. Obviously, you've seen him in Any Given Sunday, and then one other feature here is a profile pop-up.
Good stuff. That guy's jacked. Joe gets his ass kicked at tennis. He's trying to go out with, I forget her name, but tennis gal, who is playing hard to get at first, but and then we jump to we get into these long strands of, like, one thing I feel like they do very, like, they did well was showing off field having an impact on field, and then this happens and then that happens. It's sort of like you've got three threads that you're sort of braiding together, and so there's a ton of scenes where it's like Joe's over here and he's talking to her. Then it's Darnell and Halle Berry and how he feels about that relationship. It's like, then it's back to Coach. Then it's back to Joe. Now he's talking to his dad. Like, it's gradual in that way. I mean, I was in because they were putting it in, but I could see how, because I was also like, when Chris Berman showed up on ESPN, I was like, yeah! And just learning about the teams and looking up, like, South Carolina. If you're not into football, you're probably out at this point. Because they lean head, it's just the grind of a program and people fucking up and blah. He's being tutored with Halle Berry. It's great because he's like, I learned a new word out of the dictionary every day. Mendational, parenthetical. Spouting words. And she
is not impressed.
She's not impressed.
She cuts like into ribbons right smart. In front of everybody.
I wrote this note. Oh, yeah. She's not happy with it. And she says, yeah, trying to sound smart makes you sound stupid, which is good. That's good learning right there. I agree with it. I wrote this note, and then it was immediately answered at the end of the scene. But I wrote down, I'm surprised they let their QB ride a motorcycle around, let alone do jumps in a rock quarry. he takes tennis gal just riding around a rock quarry. They just do a huge jump, almost go over the edge, like hundreds of feet down. After he drops her off, he's in an underground parking lot somewhere at the dorm. Jeez, what is that?
I'd imagine it.
And James Caan, yeah, something. I don't know. It was at night. It looked like he was headed to bed. But anyway, James Caan, like Batman, comes out of the shadows, like he knows exactly where he's going to be, and takes his keys. He's like, hey, that's enough of that. Like, oh shit. Joe keeps letting us know too that he's concerned about being lower class because he's throwing her at you townies, and then he tells tennis gal, it's like, what are you, some trust fund, stuck up trust fund bitch?
Yeah, he's got an attitude that goes way beyond just being a Heisman candidate. Like, he's got a chip on his shoulder. He comes from white trash, but he'll disrespect other possible white trash, but he'll disrespect people that might just, you know, learn something good. I don't know. You know, the B and the C romance stories in this movie are goddamn boring. They go nowhere.
I'm like, you couldn't make this movie today. Be like, no. Sorry, no, this wouldn't work out.
You brought up the Bechdel test a couple times, which I'm still not 100% sure on, but I know that this movie fails in glorious fire.
Like, I don't even think two women talk to each other. I don't know if that happens. It doesn't even get to, can't even test it. Like, it doesn't even meet the minimum requirement of two women.
At no point does Halle Berry ever talk to Christy Swanson.
No.
Christy Swanson and Omar Epps, this is their first college movie together. Their next one would be, God damn it, that other movie.
We'll circle back to that one.
Yes, but
Omar Epps, I enjoyed him in this. That was fantastic. Darnell has a great scene where he makes up a bunch of stuff about his higher family learning. And Halle Berry is believing it. Higher learning, there it is. And she's asking him to write down just stuff, like write an essay about something that's not football, and then he fucks with her, and his life isn't remarkable or great to write about. She's like, okay, write about football.
He does a little fake out where he's like, you know, my dad left us when blah, 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 blah. And my mom, what he makes of the soldier, was like, she went to go get me one night and she was gunned down by some bloods. And
got gunned down.
Halle Berry, naturally, quite upset by this.
Horrified.
And then goes, psych, 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 psych. which I would have said actually means he's got a creative brain, sort of. He
totally
managed that whole
story. Yeah, he just right played there. It up.
He could have written anything. But
It seems like he could have done something there. But and then we get they do loop in some schooling in here too. Which two city states fought in the Punic Wars, Darnell? You know this one?
Denver or Oakland? I don't know.
Yeah, Denver, Detroit. That was Alvin Mack that was doing this one, I think.
Yes.
Or was the other? Anyway, but that would be
tutored and not taking any of it serious to the point where his own tutor is being frustrated,
and then later, yeah.
Yeah, later in the movie, it's his curriculum's actually been brought to our attention where he flunked out on academic probation. They got him pulled back in, but they're like, yeah, this kid has like failed the last 4 years in a row. He's not doing anything with his education right now.
And they said he also had a fourth grade reading level, which
that's
is
right.
The bummer. Which two city states fought in the Punic Wars? That would be Rome and Carthage, everybody. Hmm. And there were the Punic Wars, there were three of them, and the second one had Hannibal crossing the Alps with the elephants.
Okay.
And Rome won. Rome won ultimately. They took Sicily and Sardinia and most of the western map there. Anyway, good other history details looped in was when they're in history class, and Darnell has been instructed because he fumbled in practice. Darnell's been instructed to carry a football everywhere with him.
This is a fun scene.
And so if somebody else brings back the football to James Caan, there'll be hell to pay. So he has to carry it everywhere with him. So he's napping in class and somebody tips it off his desk and they're doing a big scramble down the aisle. Like all the football players get up and are just chugging after the thing. But he comes up with it at the bottom of the he comes up with it at the bottom of the dog pile. But they were discussing how Washington never won any major battles himself, but he did win the war via a set of successful skirmishes. But that was the strategy in that they can take a city, but they'll never be able to silence our guns, and we will keep moving. And they exhausted the British in the Revolutionary War that way.
All right. It's two things you've learned on Kush and Kai.
It's good stuff, everybody. Love the film study too, where they're going over the plays and Alvin Mack is maniacal. He has one line that is great. He's like, all right, what if they motion this way? Hit the tight end so hard his girlfriend dies. You're like, holy shit.
It's highlighting Alvin's fourth grade reading education. But then immediately when they go to him watching film play, like he's just speaking a whole other language. Like he's speaking football and he knows his job and he's going to
lead
his defense to victory.
he is a genius at this thing. He is unparalleled. Yeah. And we find out We find out too the who makes a starter, and Latimer the Roid Monster finds out he made the starting squad, and he celebrates by going out and just barehead headbutting car windows through.
As you do when you make the squad. Okay.
Yeah, and we see him switching out a urine sample too. We see him getting ready there. That's got to be. See, that's what you need. Like this is everybody. This is why you need friends, right? Because it's awkward for just you. You know, you got to know a guy, and then even on the football team, you can't be seen going to that guy. You need a buddy. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to get a buddy to go talk to the dude. Everybody needs friends. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Latimer's got some very interesting friends. He doesn't just have a regular dude that will piss into a pipe for him that he can hide.
Not just that.
He has a guy that performs full-on minor surgeries where he's laying in bed at one point.
That was a catheter.
That was a catheter? Okay, yeah.
It was a catheter. Yeah, getting cath is not fun.
No, and if it's inserted or removed incorrectly, you'll get some sort of horrible infection and your dick will fall off. That's a medical fact.
Yeah, it's no good. Exactly. It's just good science, everybody. But no, he has a buddy later in the scene. The switching of pee gets more complicated. He empties the pee out of his bladder and then they pump other clean pee back in. Which I was like, I didn't even know that was an option. That is fascinating. Yeah. Anyway, it'd be great. It'd be great too. There you go. It'd be great if after that scene he comes back. It's like, well, no steroids, but he tested pregnant, so that this is a problem. And he's going to his guy like, what the hell? Like, that's all I can find.
He's also a raccoon for some reason.
This is weird. He's a pregnant. Yeah, we should see. This is a medical miracle that you're alive. Just before the game, where the first game, Latimer and Alvin Mack are pumping each other up by hitting each other and then spitting in each other's mouths.
Yeah.
Which I look, there's so all of the hitting and the yelling and the trash talking. This is just like, I was just horrified. Like,
I'm surprised this is the only swapping of fluids we saw in this movie, to be honest, with the
combat. Almost saw some more with Latimer.
Yes.
Oof. The trash talk. Yeah.
No, go ahead with the trash talk.
I wanted to just jump into the game because that was just, they spit into each other's mouths. They're amped up. They go in. They really fill out the South Carolina stadium. And the trash talk is amazing because Alvin Mack has this routine where he accuses people of doing things to his family. It is such a good tactic. Mack's like, in the first game, he's like, you're the guy that tried to kill my mother. The running back's like,
I don't know your mom.
You know I don't know your mom. And immediately he shoves a few guys out of the way and forces a fumble. And then on the next play, after the Timberwolves recover, the offensive linemen slap each other and poke each other in the eyes, both of which is illegal on both sides. Hmm. And on the next play, they score a touchdown. And then I appreciate too, like they do this technique of like fast forwarding to just key points in games is great. Just go with that. Darnell gets a touch that works out. And then on the last play, they need to stop the opposing team here. But Latimer just rips the helmet off the opposing quarterback, which another uncalled penalty in this game. There's a bunch of uncalled ones. I mean, there's usually stuff going on, but that one's pretty obvious. The quarterback having his helmet removed by an opposing player is that's usually a no-go.
Yeah, I think even that was a no-go in 93, but it looked good.
Looked good. And then we get to see young Chris Berman. Yay, he's on SportsCenter. that was delightful to see. Is he still with us? Jeez. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Chris, if you're out there.
Yes, he is.
A booster after the game comes and puts an envelope in Darnell's coat pocket. And Darnell's like, hey, he asks, goes to Mac and says, like, is that against the rules? And Mac tells him, like, shut up. And he grabs the envelope from Darnell, and she's like, just keep quiet about it. You'll get more if you play.
That envelope that contained only $50 was pretty thick for $50. Like,
I know. I could see. I was like, well, how much is in there? And then it's like $50. Was it in ones? Like, what the hell was that?
It must have been in ones, at least fives, because there's this. It's a very noticeable width that $50 wouldn't create today. Whether it be five tens, three,
maybe it's a fives. I don't know. Yeah, who? And then who does that? It's like, thanks, Grandpa. Look at him fill out my birthday card. It's just like, just give me a crisp 50. I could take a check, I guess. But, and then there's a scene here. Halle Berry is already into Darnell. Like, she's like, I don't know, I shouldn't. She's dating Ray, the other running back, and Ray and her are dancing, like slow dancing at a party, and then she lets Darnell cut in. Which seems like it should have been a bigger deal. Like, I don't know, the dancing with your girl thing. Like, really? What's the? I don't know. I thought he'd take that as a bigger deal, but Ray just goes like, he just walks away. But then he has to counsel Halle about how
he has to stop her from leaving the party with Ray. Because he's like, yeah, why don't we go somewhere and talk and stuff? You know, talk. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay.
And Ray says, he's just another gangbanger with speed. And that makes Halle Berry agree to Darnell. And so where do they go on their date? The ice rink. And the detail that he offers up is great. He goes, the key is to go only places white people go. We're going to go bowling next. That was good stuff. Do you think Halle Berry's dad, and again, I didn't catch her name in the movie. Shit. Halle Berry's Autumn. Dad in the movie.
Her name is Autumn.
Is it Autumn?
Autumn Hale.
There we go. Autumn. her dad used to play ball at ESU. I wonder if he was a running back.
Yes. That was the whole thing.
He was the running back too?
He was a running back there's a thing at the end where he meets the dad and he's like, yeah, I used to keep my report card in my helmet. And so at the end of the movie, he pulls out his progression report and he's like, I got an 89 on my test. I only got an 87. He was like, I will kill the coach for that.
I had coach pull it up. I will kill the coach. but he could have been, but more than just the running back wear helmets though. anyway, but if he was, I'd like to believe he was a running back, and that's where Halle Berry got her fondness for running back. She just is admirant of her father. An honor too. Get to go to the same alma mater. Let's see. Oh, Bobby Collins gets cut immediately, the backup quarterback, for having someone take a test for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, chasing Amy take his test, who happens to be coach's daughter. They're both promptly expelled, and the coach is quite embarrassed, as he should be.
Oh, did he expel her too? Or did she expel, get expelled?
Yeah, because she's assisting in the cheating. She's taking his test. So he's like, I can pull some strings and get you back in, but that's going to make me look bad. So no, I ain't going to do it. He's like, that's okay, Dad. You don't have to. In that high shrill.
Yeah, I know. I hear it. And then someone from the athletic department, Joe is doing an interview and he's giving an honest answer about like feeling pressure. And then and then somebody from the athletic department comes over and is like, why don't you be more cool with it? Okay. All right, let's take that again. And so he says like, no, I don't think about it. And we cut to Joe watching that, him say that, and he's just drinking. And then he calls his dad and it's the saddest one-sided conversation. It's like, yeah, Dad, I thought we could watch the game. Oh, the TV's broke. Okay, Dad. All right, yeah, you're not going to see it. It was just the saddest fucking thing. Like, just the saddest character. His dad doesn't want to watch him play because it's very clear already.
Your dad hates you, Joe.
And then he's telling this to Tennis Gal afterward, and he has a great drunk, you don't know me, speech, and goes for a walk on the train tracks like you do when you're sad. And Tennis Gal is watching, and to her it kind of looks like he got hit by the train, so she's also upset.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Then the Michigan game happens, and there's Bo Schembechler. Joe suffers definitely a concussion on a touchdown run. He's like down for a minute. He says he has a headache. He's like, I'm good. Different concussion protocol rules, I would imagine. Darnell goes in for Ray, which is a thing to Ray, because yeah, I mean, to everybody. You don't want to lose your starting spots. But Darnell, they run a successful screen pass. They roll out left there, strong side. And Joe is, oh, they set it up as the opposing quarterback is also in the Heisman race. But Joe throws a pick to end the game. That's a bummer. Everybody's bummed out. So they go to a frat party to blow off steam. And Latimer attempts to violently rape a girl upstairs with the music too loud that people can't hear. That was upsetting because that
and
people do hear. And that one dude who what's that? There's that guy who's an offensive lineman. That's Kubiak.
He's from TV show called Parker Lewis Can't Lose, where he was the bully.
Yes,
he plays Bud Light Kaminsky, and his name is Abraham Ben Ruby, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Hell yes, he was in Parker Lewis Can't Lose. I love that show. And then Ferris Bueller, which inspired it. So this scene, like, she's, like, yelling no, and then he throws her across the room and knocks over a table and is, like, holding her down on the bed. And she's yelling, like, please somebody. Like, it goes on, and it's upsetting. And some guys come in. The other players come in and pull him off and – they cut right to the coach's office. Apparently, again, more upsetting stuff. And one of the other coaches is like, her dad is a big booster. He wants to support the program, so they're not going to go to the press. And the coach is like, really? The dad said that? He goes, well, he's not happy about it. But I'm like, gosh.
They don't want to upset the program. And he's just like, James has a slight look of disgust because he's a father. So.
That's the culture, everybody. Jeez. Not everywhere, but jeez. Yeah, the people want to be in support. As they keep saying, for the program. So Latimer gets a 3-game suspension, and he also tips Latimer off that he cannot do any more roids, even though he hasn't been hit with the test. And so Latimer goes to flush his syringes down the toilet. Who does that? Can you just put them in a bag and toss them?
Just snap the goddamn needle and put them in a bag. That's it. That's all you had to do.
Yeah. Like,
those
what are you doing here? Yeah, don't. Those do not flush. That, why did that bug the shit out of me?
Because it bugged the shit out of me too, dude, honestly. Like,
everybody, don't flush syringes.
It's not even like a hygiene thing. It's not even like a plumbing thing. Like, it just, it's stupid, and they won't flush, okay?
And he's in a, like, he got them into this college-y bathroom too. There's a trash can, you know what I mean? There's a trash can less than 10 feet from where he's standing. Gosh. Anyway.
Latimer is not obviously he's no goddamn genius. He's not in Mensa. No.
And then their day gets worse after the loss. Darnell and Joe are at a bar. Joe is he's looking over at somebody's girl, and she's like smiling at him, and the boyfriend's not happy about it. So he starts some shit and throws a punch, and Joe throws him through a trophy case, which is that's a bit much. Do. And then so they flee the scene, and Darnell points out that Joe is drunk. So they're speeding and drunk driving away from a crime, and he gets pulled over. And so the coach
been made today, there would be nothing but cell phones out, and this would be on Snapchat,
holy cow,
Instagram,
TMZ, everything, Deadspin. People will be all the fuck over this. Stephen A. Smith would be talking about it, unfortunately. But so the coach bargains the police down to sending Joe to rehab. So this costs him 4 games. And there's a great scene. Of course, before you go to rehab, he had a cardboard cutout of himself for the Heisman campaign. So he lit that on fire in a shower.
Hmm.
And he goes to rehab, turns down a call from Tennis Gal because he's ashamed of himself. Yeah, at this point, it's like they do commit. Like, again, you can't make this movie again today for these scenes where Darnell has – there's just a small scene where Darnell is emotionally honest about how he feels that Halle Berry won't acknowledge him to her dad. And it's like, yeah, great, good stuff. I mean, let's move it along. Another great scene where they're at a reinstatement hearing for Bobby, the quarterback, because they need a quarterback now. And it's just a gross scene of like them abusing the system for like, this is not what it was put together for. And one of the guys on the board says like, this isn't a football vocational school, but it's great because it's ironic because it's like, well, it is. So, you know,
He gives a whole speech. He's like, I used to be a football player, and I remember studying and training and getting the shit kicked out of me and just being exhausted. Dramatic pause.
Yeah.
But I never cheated. And you think that would be right there. But then he's like, well, maybe we'll give you just one more chance, buddy. And
then they asked coach, like, will you vouch for his character? And anybody that gives that long of a pause too, he goes,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not? You know, that comes back later too. You could tell coach didn't like having to do that because coach flip during the last game, coach flips over a table of Gatorade and he goes, Bobby, clean that out.
Which is supposed to be Bobby's comeuppance somehow, but they kept catering to him, so I never understood it.
But. Lose to Texas without Latimer and Joe. Beat the Tar Heels. Latimer comes back, and then at the Iowa game, the Hawkeyes. It goes bad here because Mac. Is taunting somebody, and a lineman goes low on him. And it looks like – I thought it was a dislocation, but it's also got to be a break too because his foot is facing the wrong way after that play.
I believe it was an open compound fracture too.
Not looking good. And then Latimer has to be the hero. He's back, but he's not allowed to do roids anymore, the source of all his power. and Latimer meets the running back at the goal line at a 4th-and-1 to like end the game, but he can't stop him.
Overpowered by that much.
So then we get some great. Then Latimer falls to the dark side again and decides he needs to go back to the roids. So great, Jose Canseco ass type shot for injecting the roids. We get the full, almost the full, it's a 3/4 full. He tugs down those. Those shorts, and we get some Latimer butt.
Plenty of ass hair on the DVD, by the way, because it's all clear now, as opposed to the old VHS copy where that shit blended into the background. No, it's front and center.
Yeah, and they didn't wax or anything back then. Now all linemen, NFL or sorry, college linemen, and then at the Division I level, they all wax their butts. That's just a known.
That's just how it's done.
It is, yeah. I don't understand all of the collegiate rules and bylaws, but there you go. They pick up Joe at rehab. That's a fun scene where they're all piling into the car. It's usually like is it a celebratory mood when you leave rehab? Is that you know what I mean? Like, because they're like, "Woo, yeah, Joe!" and they're piling into the car.
But then, what do you do? Like, you can't go out for drinks because that's the point of how you got into rehab. So, what do you do?
So they're just happy. He immediately goes to see tennis gal, who's not super happy about him. Although she's wearing a great tennis top, I have to say that worked for her. And then he goes to see his dad. In the scene following that. And that's where he says, like, hey, Dad, here's a plane ticket. And then I got you a seat right at the 50-yard line. And, of course, they do the cut over to the seat, like, 3 times, and he's not there. And Joe's like, he's just defeated every time. Darnell wins the starting job over Ray. Which is a big – that's got to be a defeat because he took your girl. Now he took the starting job. Like,
well, Ray's still a starter. Like, Ray would have just been moved over to Tailman.
No, he's a full. They moved him to fullback.
Okay, but he's still starting. He's still in the starting squad.
But it's a deal. Like, that's his position. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be a full, because a fullback, he's blocking. You run the option outs. It's
I dig.
Yeah, he's not built like a fullback either. Like, he's a speedster. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So the Georgia Tech game, Darnell fumbles immediately. That's the first thing we see. And then they go in down to 10 at the half to Georgia Tech. And Darnell and Ray get into it because he's accusing Ray of missing a block. And they're like fighting with each other. Coach has to break it up. After the half, Joe comes out of the tunnel. Dad's still not in the seat. And it's like, oh, boy. Were you really expecting? Because he made an impassioned, like, come on, Dad. Maybe come see me play.
I mean, he could be in the bathroom. He could be getting a drink. Like, you know, anything. Joe's dad could be there, but he's not.
It'd be great if you found out at the end of the game, like, oh no, he was on his way here and he died in a taxi accident or something. You know what I mean? That would have been a great, like, he was, yeah, he slipped on some ice. It was terrible.
They hand him a Ziploc bag of the bloody tickets crumpled up because they were in his hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Slowly, yeah. Slightly singed, absolutely covered in blood.
Police officer is like, he said, let my boy know he's proud. That would have been a great twist. And he's crushed. Joe just starts sobbing. So Coach gives Joe the pep talk because they're down by 10. And Joe comes back to life. They drive down to the 10 on what looked like a missed block by Griffin. But it springs Darnell into the end zone because he gets back up. And they finally give each other some respect there.
Put some then the ball goes back over.
They got to get a stop here because the game's coming down. Latimer sheds two blockers and just stuffs the running back for a loss.
Yellow and Jackets produces snot bubbles, as has been a thing this whole movie. I want snot bubbles. Exactly.
Hit him so hard, snot bubbles. And then after Latimer makes the key tackle, Coach pulls him over and just looks at him for a sec. And you can tell he knows. He's like, you're on the roids, son. You're on the roids.
And Latimer immediately goes into puppy dog eyes and just shame just overweighs him. And he sits on the bench. Oh.
So Yellow Jackets have to punt. Darnell almost runs it back to the house, but he gets them down to the end zone. I think I know what Joe's problem is after watching this movie. I don't think we've seen him complete a pass to a wideout. He hadn't hit a single wide receiver. He only hits the running backs on these little dump-offs and screen passes. Like, he doesn't have the downfield eye or ability. I think there was a wide receiver that dropped it at the end of last season that we saw, but... You're not gonna. It's hard to win games that way. You know, that's all I'm saying. A lot of dump offs. Anyway, so final play.
College football analysis. There you go.
Less than 10 seconds. Gets chased out of the pocket in a ridiculous sequence. He's dodging tackles. He's doing little kick turns back and forth. He fumbles the ball at one point, and then who does he find in the end zone? Not a wide receiver. Not even a tight end. Darnell again. Another running back. Luckily though, Darnell breaks off his man. Creates some space down there, pulls it in, and they win. They win the game.
Touchdown. Wolves win.
I think that means they went to a bowl game that year.
They did go to a bowl game, but we don't see it. And you, despite the fact that everyone on the Wolves is cheering, you'd assume they had lost. Because Latimer is bawling his eyes out on the field. People are just kind of like, oh, it was a good game. Yeah. Did you have fun? I had fun. That's for that. Yeah.
I believe Coach told him at the end of the game that he wouldn't be coming back next season.
They had a speech in Coach's office where he's like, if I catch you on this shit again, then yeah, you're not coming back. But coaches seem to, you know, he's compromised so much. I'd say he let him play for the bowl game too, you know?
Probably for the bowl game. But no, I think because they do a great thing where Joe goes back. Wait, last thing with Tennis Gal, Joe goes back and asks if she will share a sixer with him, and she's like shocked, but he reveals that it's Sprite. Get your corporate sponsorship in there, and she's back in. And then we see a great reverse scene. All good movies, they come back to, they show a reverse shot, and the coaches are leaving again. Last year there was an effigy hung, and this year they're walking out again, and they're talking about players they're going to go recruit. But there's a line where he says, yeah, I think there's this kid. He's got a lot of buzz out of him. And I think he'll be able to replace Latimer's spot.
That's right.
I think they did. That's why he was crying, because the coach told him, like, you're out.
He's not playing next season. That's for sure.
There you go.
Or at least not starting.
Good stuff. And that was the program. And again, for me, I was just, I'm like, it's pleasing when the football scenes are done competently. Like, I want to go back and look up who they were actually using running around out there, because it's easy to use.
Yeah,
an actual football player instead of actors when they're wearing football helmets.
Yeah, the football scenes in this, like you said, man, they're fantastic. And I think this movie is underrated because they are that strong. However, those B and C romance stories just drag this movie down. Like, this could be a solid 90-minute movie about corrupt football. And they try to make it another thing to appease a whole other demographic. And it just doesn't work. And it ultimately, it taxes the movie for it.
Whose would you cut? Whose romantic storyline would you cut?
Only one?
Yeah.
Joe's.
Or
probably Joe's. It's not that interesting. Although you get to explore a little bit of the father stuff. The Darnell stuff.
The Darnell stuff is just shallow. There's nothing there. You're just like, why? What are you doing, Halle Berry? Like, you've already got a boyfriend. Your dad likes
your boyfriend. It worked to build tension with the who's the starter kind of thing with Ray, Darnell and Ray, but it sort of works itself out, though, like, which is like, all right, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just 50% less of both of those relationships. You could trim a scene here or there out of that. We can keep this thing moving along. Anyway, so would you recommend this movie, Kush?
Yes, with an asterisk.
Yes, with an asterisk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to prop my asterisk. I don't have an asterisk here. I would just say, like, yeah, go learn about some college football and what the time that was. A lot of fun details. I liked it.
This is how you
yeah,
do it.
Probably if I.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah. Finish. I don't know. Jump in.
this is how you do it. You get Varsity Blues. You get the program. You get Any Given Sunday, and then you finish it off with The Longest Yard. That's your football
level. Perfect. Evolution.
High school to prison.
Cradle to the grave. Yeah, if you don't like football, not for you. Stay away. if you despise it or are aware that, yeah, fine. But know thyself. Any other deets? Trivia things?
Nah, not really. This movie was not a flop. It made double its money back, so it succeeded. For some reason, the week they you know, records were different back then in 1993, so Box Office Mojo only has the 4 weeks it was in first run theaters, and then that's when it dipped off. It just, there's nothing there. So, yeah, big controversy with the deleted scene. We talked about that at the beginning, and that's it.
There we go.
Kirstie Swanson looks very cute in athletic gear, and Halle Berry hasn't aged a day.
Has not aged a day. My gosh. They also shot part of this movie at Duke. That's pretty. Bo Schembechler. Oh, Lynn Swan is also in it. He also makes an appearance as an announcer. Oh, if you're not keen on the N-word, they throw that one around a lot in this one.
They throw a lot of N-bombs, at least 24 worth.
Yeah, and it's all in good contextual fun. Cool. All right. Well, visit us on the web at cushionkai.com, the Twitters, or you could just yell our name at Siri. She'll probably sort something out for you. I yell at Siri a lot just to relieve stress. I find it soothing. It helps.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. Rock on, Kush.
Rock on, Kai. Hugs and kisses. Bosley.net.
Sit, Bosley, sit.
I'm going to be number 20, but we will undoubtedly going to be number one.